Well, I'm happy to be back with you all. It's been a couple weeks, and I get to be here, and I'm just so excited. And I tell you, if you haven't heard the messages that's been coming from the pulpit, please jump online. Listen to all of them. Last Sunday, my dad, Bishop, did amazing, great word from God. It's just really a stepping stone, I know, where the Lord's taking us. And Pastor Chuck's message Wednesday night was just incredible. And I'm going to be amazing today. I'm just kidding. But listen, if you have, you know, you're driving to work, put on the teaching from your church. That way you kind of know the heartbeat of where the church is going. Amen. It's just easy to get behind. But I'm starting a little mini series here, and I really had a difficult time giving it a title. I like all these fancy names, and I just missed the day when they used to just preach the Bible. It didn't matter what the topic was, but anyway, I thought maybe we could go Word of God 1. Word of God 2, Word of God 3, like let's just come for the word, amen? And you do, praise God, we have an amazing church, but I came up with the title Decided, period. Decided, because I believe we're living in such a critical time in the world today, and our decisions that we're going to make for our life are going to be so critical to where the Holy Spirit's going to take you. And it's so important that we understand the times that we're living in. There's such an onslaught against our government and our school system, our children, our family, and in our churches. The enemy is doing this great takeover. We always knew it was underground, but he's very bold today. The assignment of the enemy is very bold, and they're coming after our children and coming after the family unit, and there's so much troubling going on in the world today, and I'm looking at the church, and I'm wondering, with all of this turmoil going on, why are we doing church like we've always done church? Why are we serving God the way that we used to serve God? Because we're living in such a time that we better make some decisions to really tap into what the Holy Spirit is doing in this hour. Because what got us to where we're at today is not going to get us where we need to be in 2-3 years. We have to make some kingdom decisions in our life. We have to draw the line in the sand of some things that's going on in our life, because the world is changing, but the church isn't changing. We're staying, not this church, praise God. This is for every other church. Just share it on Facebook. No, it's for us, isn't it? It's for us, because we can't have our relationship with Jesus the way that we had it even a year ago. We've got to tap into some fire of the Holy Spirit and make some decisions today so that 6 months to a year from now, the church doesn't look like what it looks like today. So many pastors and churches came back with church as normal in 2021. And I'm not saying you can't have programs and routines. I'm all about that. But our heart needs to be bent for the things of God. Our heart needs to be bent for what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour. We have to have a fire shut up in our bones, because there is a valley of dry bones that are crying out. They're lost. They're dead. They're hopeless. And it may not be in the church because we have some feel-good moments, but the world is lost and going to hell. And we just come in and have good church. I'm all about good church. I love church. I love the church. God has called me to the church, but I don't want to have good church. I don't want to have a good moment. We need God to do something on the inside of us. We need to stop doing the church and start being the church. And be bold for what we believe in. My dad hit that so beautifully last week. But the Christ followers are so divided on what truth is. It's heartbreaking. I know y'all saw what was on social media the last week. It isn't like we're, you know, dumb to what happened in Christendom in the last week. And the church is so blinded to what truth is. We've been so diluted to what the truth is that we have perverted compassion to what's going on in the world and even in some platforms. We have to understand that maybe there was a day we had all these wonderful things happening in the church, you know, the motorcycles. We had some great church. People got saved. People got delivered. Families came into the kingdom. But we're not living in that hour. We can't have tractor trucks and all these circus things happening in the church right now because God is looking to be elevated in this hour. He is looking to be the king. He's looking to be the focus. What used to work isn't going to work today. God's going to begin to shut platforms down, and I'm not talking about that platform. I'm not the pastor. That's his between him and God. I'm just talking about what's in my heart as a pastor for Faith Builders Church, that it's not to be built on all the fluff. It's to be built on the power and the presence of God. Can't imagine an arena of 5,000, 6,000 men coming together, praying for our country, on their knees, weeping for repentance of our nation. What could have happened in that arena that would have been catapulting across the nation of men of God in this hour? Yeah. But instead, we're gonna fight with what's right and what's wrong and what. Let's get back to the Bible. Yeah. Let's get back to what the Word of God says. We need to have a fire of God. I'm putting together a series. And we did this years ago called The Church Awakening, but God has really given me a new message, and it's called, Are We Awake or Are We Woke? Because the church has become so woke that they're not awake to the Holy Spirit. We have no discernment to what's good and what's evil anymore. We have more compassion for sin in the pulpit than a man of God to stand up and preach the truth. That's concerning to me. Troubling to many pastors, as it should be, amen? All right, are you ready? That was just my start. Awesome. So my message is called Decided, and we're going to take the next few weeks and talk about some things, but if you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? Just quietly, what would it be? Can't ask for more wishes. It's just one, okay? You just get one. You know, whatever that wish is, it reveals what you value the most. What are you wanting from God in this hour? What is important to you into your life and your family and to the kingdom of God? Because what's important to you reveals what's important to God, amen? So we're gonna study this morning a little bit about King David, and we're gonna look at what was the focal point of David's life. And we know that King David lived a big life, didn't he? He killed giants, he wrote the book of Psalms, he defeated nations. There's so many wonderful things about David, and yet I think most of us can realize that we're a lot like him more than we think. David was, when it came to decision makings, he had good intentions but bad choices. And I feel like that's how we are in this hour. We have good intentions. We want revival. We want a move of God. We want to see people healed. We want to see people delivered. But what are we doing with those choices to get there? King David decided to avoid conflict in his life. He had sinned and fallen short, and that avoidance of conflict was a detriment to his life. He wanted to please God with his righteous living, but he gave in to his temptation of his flesh. And we know that David fell into compromising sexually, and he had an affair with Bathsheba, was the wife of Uriah. Funny story about Bathsheba real quick. When I was a youth pastor in Beloit, Wisconsin, one of my teenagers was in the car with me, and we were talking about King David and his affair with Bathsheba, and we were talking about how she was bathing on the rooftop, and she goes, oh, that's why she's called Bathsheba. I was like, no, honey. It was Erica Runglin. It was so precious, so childlike. But David, what did he decide to do? Instead of face his failures or his mistakes, he decided to lie, cover his tracks. He made unwise and unhealthy decisions. His marriage began to have problems and he was hurting. He lost a child, a son. His second son was so much troubled that he turned against his own father as a revolt to take the life of his own father. I want you to think about where David is at. He's in a painful place. He's in a place where he's got to make important decisions. And because he made a wrong decision, it negatively affected thousands of people. Isn't this encouraging so far? Hallelujah, we're at church. But I want to point on the good of David, because all of us have our shortcomings. All of us has our mistakes and our failures. But what's so beautiful about David is to this day, he's still known as a man after God's own heart. How is that? We're going to study over the next few weeks important decisions that you need to make today that will affect your life tomorrow. What are we prioritizing in our life that's really coming before God? It's so easy to put priorities. And do we have things that we're facing in life? Yes. Do we have to put some things in order? Yes. But what is prioritizing before God? Because we have to decide today, what is the most important thing in my life, for my family, for the kingdom of God? I should say first for the kingdom of God, for my marriage, for my family, because that's the order. If we don't have a relationship with God, you don't have a healthy family. So David, what do we see about David? He prioritized his intimacy with God over and over and over again. Through every trial, through every mistake, through every enemy that came to his life, he was always saying, God, kill him. God, take him out. But he had a relationship and intimacy with his God. We need to prioritize intimacy with the Father. Why? Because you don't accidentally fall into an intimacy with God. You don't just trip into this intimacy with God. I've been serving the Lord. I was raised in a Christian family, blessed to be raised in a Christian family, served the Lord my whole life. But if you go from 20 on up in ministry, the intimacy with God did not come through just an accident because I wanted intimacy, because I desired intimacy. You can't be doing Netflix and streaming it constantly and think you have an intimate relationship with God. This isn't the hour that we're to play games. We have to win our nation back. We've got to win our country back. We've got to take our families back. Are we strolling on Instagram? Are we sitting around smoking cigars and drinking whiskey? Just so you know, that happens in some churches, on the grounds. That's happening. Let the men sit around and have some whiskey and smoke cigars because they're men. Instead of being the head of the church, the head of the kingdom, the authority of God, telling the women, let's go take our nations back. It should be the men in the front lines taking the charge, not worried about smoking our cigars. Sitting around cussing with our buddies, acting like the world that won't give you the unction to lead somebody to Jesus. It won't give you the authority and the power that God wants the church to walk in this hour. There is no such thing, point one, no such thing as an intimacy without intentionality. No such thing. I didn't get where I'm at in my walk with Jesus. My parents definitely didn't get there. The people that you love and admire didn't get there because they wanted it. They were intentional about intimacy with the Father. I spent some time with Ro. I love her so much. And we finally had our little brunch together. And we were talking about this, that even as friends, we have to be intentional in relationships. I want friends, I want relationships, but we're not intentional. But when we are, we put a date on the calendar and we follow through. And now I know Ro just a little bit deeper, and she definitely learned some things about me. In marriage, it has to be intentional. With your children, it's intentional. Then why do we think God is absent from that? You have to make a date with God. You have to clear your calendar. If your only time is in the car, then you put on worship music and you spend time with the Father and you talk to the Father. And actually, it's better just turn the music off, because that can become a distraction. Yesterday, I sat in my living room and I put on my worship music and I was walking and praying. And I'm like, I'm just kind of going through the motions here. I turned the music off and I heard my voice. I heard me praying in tongues. I heard me praying for this church and for the kingdom of God. That made it intimate with the Father. They didn't group date God. What I love about the Holy Spirit, though, is he's so awesome, he'll come and he'll begin to pull you to that intimacy. I know you hear his voice because he's calling me. He's calling me to the secret place. He's aligning me. I've been serving God for so long. I could just open up the Bible and teach you the word. I could spit out a lot of good things and thank God it's in me. But God's looking for fresh. He's looking for new. I hear him, come, Barb, come alone with me. I'll share more in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's a pull of the Holy Spirit, and I want to ask you, are we responding? Are we responding to that beautiful pull of the Holy Spirit? My deepest concern would be if I didn't feel the pull of the Holy Spirit. That would worry me. And I'll share a little bit of my testimony in a minute, but I can tell you in these last couple years, I haven't felt that. I haven't felt the pull. I feel distant from God, and I walk with God, and I talk with him, but I felt so different. But I had to begin to cry out to God, God, trouble my heart for the things that trouble you. I've lost my way. I haven't stopped loving you, but I've lost my way. I don't feel your pull. I don't feel that still small voice. I don't feel that beautiful presence that I, how many when you first got saved? Oh, I wish we could have that all the time, but the Bible says he'll give you the joy of your salvation back. That means that first love can come back, amen? Yes. So thank God, but are we responding? I'm going to show you where David, if David was asked this question, what's one thing you would want from God, you would ask from God? How did David respond? Let's look at Psalms 27, verse 4. I love this, just that first little part. It says this, one thing, say one thing. That one means, first of all, one thing I ask from the Lord, and that only do I seek. Stop right there. He said, there's one thing. You don't find in the scripture next where he said, make me more happy. Make me more satisfied. Give me a bigger palace. I'm king after all. Give me more wealth in the world. Let me dominate the world. Make me TikTok famous, God. I wouldn't mind being TikTok famous. You make money. I mean, come on. But David said, there's only one thing that I want. Let's keep going. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What are we going to do? I'm going to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What do you see here? It's this beautiful, intimate relationship with God. He said, this is the first thing I'm going to do. It's the only thing that I want, and I'm going to seek it. What does that word seek mean? It means I require it. I request it. I demand it. Why? Because there's no other that can fulfill my life except for the presence of God. I demand your presence, God. I'm going to seek your presence until I feel your anointing again. I'm going to seek your presence and be faithful until I am overwhelmed with who you are once again in my life. And how do we do that? Goes on to say that I may dwell. I'm guilty of this too, but so many of us want to drive by blessings of God. I'm a drive by faith builders. I get touched there. Woo, glory. That doesn't change you. When you dwell in the presence of God, that word dwell there means I sit down, I'm staying, I'm abiding. Do you know how hard it is just to sit down and wait on God? It was horrible this weekend. I did it. Because I'm a cleaner. I'll clean and pray in tongues. I talk to the Lord all day long. But studying this, I'm like, I want to sit. I want to stop the mind. I want to dwell in his presence because there's things he wants to pour into us in this hour. And when we're busy drive-by, we can't hear the voice of God. What we will do is we will pull on the old, which was good. But God's like, but I'm not there anymore. I have something fresh and new. Even as I'm studying scripture today, and I know my dad and mom can attest to this, there's new outpouring of God's word right now. There's things, the mysteries that are opening up that we didn't see 10 years ago. Is that not the truth? God is revealing his word for this time, for this hour. But we're too busy pulling on the old instead of stepping into the new. David said, if I could have one thing, I need to be close to him. I need to be intimate with him. When I get in the presence of God, I'm just like, Lord, I need your voice. I need to hear you, God. I need your hope. I need your joy. I need your peace. I need the joy of my salvation once again. You get that when you abide with him. Bible says in Psalms 91, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know what that word, that means, that abiding in? Trusting implicitly in the love of God to give you everything you need. And what do we do as humans? This will make me happy. The perfect husband's gonna make me happy. Married people over 5 years, is that true? Maybe we'll say 10 years. You're over the 20 years, so you can't say that. No, do people fulfill us? No. Do they make you happy? No. Can they give you joy? No, temporary. But what does the Spirit of the Lord do? He fills that place that we have allowed other things to come in and fill us up. Abide, I'm trusting in you. So how do we prioritize intimacy with God? And this may be basic to us, many of us, but it's where God wants us to go back to, because we have forgotten the basics. There's so much information out there. There's so many videos you can turn into. There's so much that you could go every direction, but it starts back with intimacy. And number one is, I'm desperate for God's presence. And I use the word desperate. Why? Because I need him. I need his comfort. I need his strength. I need his wisdom. I need him to be guiding my steps, as his word says. He's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. If we had time to pass the mic around, every one of you have things you've been going through. There's been trials. There's been disappointments. As a pastor, there's been so much that I've had to work through in the last 6 years that I never dreamed I'd have to walk through. People walk out of your life. People disappoint you. They betray you. They hurt you. In my own personal life, going through my own desires and dreams, there's many things that we go through. And when I come into his presence, I need his guidance so desperately. I need to hear what he wants to decide for my life, not what I want to decide for my life. If I decided I'd have quit a long time ago, if I'd have decided I'd call mom and dad home first year into ministry, come back home. If I decided, I need to hear his voice. I need his healing. I need his hope. I need his joy that nothing else can give to me, only the presence of God. David said, one thing. I only need one thing out of life. That's it. I'm a king. I have it all. But I still only need one thing, and that is your presence, God. He was desperate for the presence of God. Now, I want to show you something that's so amazing about David, because we can pass over things, but in Psalm 63, I'm about to read to you, David was in a dark place naturally. His heart was broken. He was hiding in the wilderness. Theologians say he was hiding from Absalom, his son, who was trying to kill him and raised up an army against him. How many know that's troubling? That alone would almost take me out if my family betrayed me. That alone would make me go, where is my God? Imagine in that position. But what does David say to God? Look at Psalm 63, verse 1. You, God, are my God. He's hiding in the wilderness. His son has broke his heart. But he said, God, earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. What is he saying? He said, I'm diligently looking for your presence. Why my heart is broken. Why my son is betraying me. Why I'm supposed to be king and everything's going good. But God, I'm going to seek till I find you. Why? Because I'm thirsty. What happens when you're thirsty? King had everything. What could he need? If he wanted it, he could go get it. When you're thirsty, the natural, you have headaches. You have irritability, fatigue, confusion. When we're thirsty, we go try to look for something to satisfy that craving. And we do it. But David is showing, the only thing I need is you and your presence. I'm thirsty for you, God. I need to drink from your anointing and your presence. And if I have to stay here day after day in the wilderness and in this dry place, I'm going to wait until you pour down your dew from heaven. He went on to say, I thirst for you. This is so powerful. He didn't ask God for a miracle. He didn't ask God to change his son's heart. He asked for the Lord. What do we see? We're so busy asking God for things that we forget to simply have a relationship with him. We seek God's hand, we're not seeking his heart. David said, unless you do it, God, there's nothing that can be done anyway. You delivered me, you've healed me, you showed me you're faithful, so all I need now is you, God. Don't worry, I'm not gonna worry about my son. I'm not gonna worry about the problems. I need you. Be vulnerable with you. I shared a little bit that I, last couple years, have just been, God, where's that intimacy? It's like I'm having a hard time getting back to that place. And I've been asking the Lord, bring me back. I want that moment where all I wanted was his presence and just tapping into him, and it just seems like it's been dry. And as I was praying over this, the Lord, yesterday I was walking and praying, and the Lord said this to me. He said, you got addicted to crying out to me with turmoil, and you forgot to come to me out of love. I was like, I just begin to weep. For 6 years, all I've done is, God, pray for this family. God, stop this. God, this. I was putting out fires, putting out fires, putting out fires, that when it came to abiding, I forgot how to do that. Because if I wasn't fighting, I didn't feel like I was moving. If I wasn't fighting, I didn't feel like I had the presence of God. I didn't realize. So I made a commitment to the Lord. I'm going to abide in your presence. I'm going to seek your heart, God. I'm going to seek that love relationship with you once again. And I'm telling you, the habit will come up, and you're going to seek God for things. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but you should have time away. I am desperate for his presence. If I don't have his presence, I might as well die. I've had great years in the kingdom. I've had great years in ministry. But there's this cry for more. I don't want to be in the wilderness any longer. I don't want to be in a parched land. Verse 2, it goes on to say, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. What was he saying? I've been there with you, God. I have felt your anointing. I have seen your power. I seen you when you were with me with Goliath. You were there with me, and you took down Goliath. I know your power. So if you did it then, God, you will do it now. I've seen it. I felt your love. I felt your power. How many has had God change your life? You have seen God change your life. Go back to that. I know you did it there, and you will do it now. Because your love is better than life. Whew. My lips will glorify you. I thirst for you, God. I long for you, God. I love where scripture, where it talks about Abraham, Bible says we're a friend of God. It's beautiful that a holy God would call me friend. But what you see with David here is more than a friend. He went intimate with God. I've never told a friend that I earnestly seek you. That would be weird. And I love, my soul thirsts for you. No, it doesn't, sorry. No, it wasn't a friend. It was his Savior. It was his God, I should say. It was that intimacy. He knew that that intimacy is what brought him to victory in his life. He was desperate for the presence of God. I know some of us here today, you might say, I've never felt that before, or I don't have that. I'm not there, or I've never had it. And I can tell you why, is because the enemy is fighting so hard to keep us distracted, to keep us busy, to lie to us so we are not rushing into the presence of God. And you have to recognize that the enemy is coming with a large distraction in the church today. And our target needs to be the kingdom of God. We think, oh, this will make me happy. That'll make me happy. You fill in the blank. We all have different fill in the blanks. This will make me happy. Anything but God can make me happy right now. But I think what we need to realize, we're a lot like David. We are desperate for God. We make mistakes. We fall short. But we need the power of God to change what we cannot change. I need the power of God to change my unhappy season, change my fear, change my abandonment, change my financial situation. I don't know what it is, but only the power of God can change those things. External things can't do it. More money, we see this over and over. More stuff, more luxury, a little more time off. All those things will make me happy. Should we rest? Yes, Sabbath day is important. But if that's our strive and it's not the intimacy and the presence of God, we are missing the mark. For me as a pastor, it could be, let's get that speaking engagement. Let's get involved with these popular pastors. Let me just drive into this. And all these things drive for success in my life. But really, it's the intimacy of the Father that has to be the driving force. Amen? It's not a mega church. Do I want people's lives changed? Yes. Will we have multiple services? Yes. But that's not what I'm seeking. I'm not seeking to write books, become famous. I'm not seeking speaking engagements to feel good about myself. Not in this hour. I'm seeking the presence of God. I'm deciding. We're talking about deciding. I'm desperate for his presence. Men. Number two, give me a couple more minutes. Where did the time go? I'm desperate for God's word. Desperate. I need his word. I need the authority of God's word in my life. You learn God through his word. Let's look at Psalms 19. It says this, David had several adjectives for the word of God. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. They are more desirable than gold, and they are sweeter than honey. We need to be desperate for the word of God. Why? It's the word that changes you, the word that changes the situation. You may be sad in your life. The Bible will encourage and build you up. The word will free you. It's a two-edged sword dividing asunder from the lies and the truth and the power of God. If I'm confused, he's a lamp unto my feet. If I'm lonely, the word comforts me. If I'm hurting, it gives me hope. Psalms 119 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have a sin problem. Get in the word of God and it'll change the sin in my life. Bible says, study to show yourself approved. So much. You wake up at 2 a.m. and you're anxious. You ever had that? You're troubled like you're in the principal's office. I was there all the time. But you can get up and you can declare the word of God. And you can say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will what? Transcend my mind, my troubled heart, and guide my heart through Christ Jesus. I'm desperate for your word. I don't need a counseling appointment. I don't need prayer. I need the word of God that changes. I'm desperate, God. I'm in this rut too long. Are you tired and growing weary? Galatians says, don't grow weary while doing good. If you faint not, you will reap a harvest. Don't give up. When you're afraid, preach the word to yourself. I'm desperate for your word, God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I can wake up at 2 a.m. God has not given me a spirit of fear, power, love. I'm desperate for your word, God. You feel stuck. Philippians says, I'm confident he who began a good work will finish it. You're hurting. Run to God's word of promises. He's my refuge, my strength in ever-present time of trouble. We want to lean on people, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they are not your power, and they are not your source. I am desperate for God's word. What's going to get us through these trying times? The word of God. The word of God. My dad brought his Bible last week. How many saw that? Well, I brought my Bible, Dan. Yeah, this darling little Bible. I'm just teasing on that part, but he had this Bible that he's had, and what he doesn't know is I used to sneak through his office drawers all the time. And he'd know it because a pen would be turned. That's how my dad, like, a pen was laying this way. It's who's been at my desk? Well, it was me. But I used to look through that Bible. He didn't even know this. I don't think I've ever told him. I'd look at it, and I'd read all his scriptures, and he had Romans Road in there so he could lead people to Jesus. He'd have it in his pocket. I remember as a little girl, it's the word, the word. He had healing scriptures in the back. Why? Because I'm desperate for the word. What's going to set people free from demonic attack? The word. What's going to heal bodies? The word. I'm desperate for your word. So I'll tell you what I did. I got a new Bible because my other Bible, I could preach out of it. There's lines and circles and highlights. I've had it since I was 20 years old. And I got a new Bible because I want fresh. I want fresh. And I opened up Philippians. I'm studying in Philippians right now, the epistles. And this is what Paul said. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests. Let me stop right there. I want you to know where Paul was writing this letter. He was in a Roman prison, bound. Let me tell you what Paul wanted to be doing. He wanted to be preaching the gospel in Rome. And yet he finds himself, the place where he thought he wanted to be is not where God has him. And he's bound in a Roman cell. We get frustrated. Well, I should be this, and I should be over here by now, and I should have this by now. Paul's saying, hey, I wanted to preach on the streets, but God has me in bondage right now. God has me in prison. But he writes this letter to Philippians, and he says, I thank my God upon you, upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine, making requests for you with all, is it up there? Did I not give it to you? With all joy. Amen. What? How is that possible? Because he knew that God could use him right where he was at. He was winning the guards to Jesus. He was winning the prisoners to Jesus. Amen. He took the word and he could count it with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be found faithful to complete it. That's one verse that can change your life forever. God will be found faithful. If he started it, say he'll finish it. Okay, let me give you this last point. Are you ready? It's really short. Number three, I'm desperate for God's church. I did a 6-week series on this, but I'm going to hit something that I didn't hit then. Desperate for God's church. How did David feel about that? Psalms 122:1. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There was a rejoicing. There was a fulfillment of joy when they went to the house of the Lord. What did that look like? The Israelites would leave work behind. They would leave the troubles of home behind, and they would gather in the place where God designated them. And where it was designated is where the Ark of the Covenant was. The presence of God. They say, I rejoice. They came together out of their homes, out of their troubles, and they danced and they shouted and they celebrated to get to the house of the Lord because they knew God's presence was going to be there. Amen? I want to say this because there's so many people I know that are unchurched today, and they're my friends, and I love them. But if you ever look at the posts of unchurched people, it's critical. It's judgmental. It's prideful. Why? Because they're living for themselves. They're living for what they think pastors should do. I don't even have time to go down there. They think they have the word from God. No accountability, no community, no love. No sacrifice. I can tell you that every blessing in my life has come through the church. Yes. Through my parents. Every blessing and breakthrough in my life came through the church. My parents' marriage was restored, and they became first-generation Christians in the church. Today, there are four generations of Pruitts serving God in the church. The church did that, not home groups, not unaccountability. In the church, I gave my life to Jesus. In the church, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. In the church, my calling was ignited. In the church, I made the richest group of friends I could ever have, and I still have 30 years later in the church. Because they're my covenant friends, and they understand kingdom, and they understand spiritual things. We may not all agree on everything, but they're my friends I found in the church. You know how many people leave the church? They leave their church they love, but they left all their friends behind? Because you don't realize what you have until it's gone. I learned to forgive people in the church. I learned to not be selfish in the church. Tithe. Giving. My time. Serving. I learned the word of God in my church. I took classes in my church. I was a little kid taking evangelism explosion. I wasn't even allowed to go on the trips, but I'm like, they offered the class. I grew up in the church. I was baptized in the church. A few times. Never wondered on Sunday if we were going to church. Didn't have to knock on mom and dad's door and say, should I get dressed to go to church? You knew on Sunday morning you'd hear my mom's Christian TV on, getting ready, and it was Sunday morning. We were going to church. We're like, well, you're called to ministry, PB. You're a pastor. We weren't then, but I can tell you this, we don't go to church because we're pastors. We go to church because we're Christ followers. We are Christ followers. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Those who are planted, last scripture verse. Thank you for letting me finish this because I don't want to do it next week. Psalms 92:13. The righteous are planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of God's praise. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there's no wickedness in him. Wickedness. Thank you. Blah. What does that mean? You want to serve Jesus 5 years from now? Stay in the church. You want your children to grow up and serve God? Stay in the church. You'll be old and still bear fruit. You'll stay fresh. I'm still on fire for God. My dad showed last week that at his age, he's still on fire, radical for God. My mom is radical on fire for God. Powerful. Why? Because we're staying in the church, the house of God, where I'm going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. I want to find myself in a home by leaders who haven't paid the price to be there, by people who think they know the word of God in scripture and they don't. I always say, follow the battle scars. Amen. Are you desperate for God, his word, his presence, and his church? Go ahead and stand to your feet. Father, I thank you today for this church, God. I know you are building warriors in this house, God. You are building men and women of God who are saying yes to your kingdom in this hour, God. We're going to lay down our lives in this hour. We're going to be that living sacrifice. Holy Spirit, I pray that you draw every one of us into your presence. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you visit every home, every job, every car. When we're getting ready in the morning, draw us, Holy Spirit, draw us to the presence of God. Draw us to fresh revelation from your scripture. We're going to die to the old ways and we're going to say, God, pour out fresh and new in this hour, in our hearts, in this church, and in North Phoenix, Arizona. It is set apart for you, God. The harvest is ripe and I know that you're raising up the laborers in this hour and we give you praise, God. We want you. We want your anointing. We want your promises. We want your power. We want your word, Father God. We die to our flesh. We cast off the restraints that are holding us, and we step into your spirit, Father God. Give us ears to hear should be our cry. Give us ears to hear the clarion call of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you need to make things right with Jesus, I want you just to do that right now. Just make it right with the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me if you've strayed, if you've lost your way, if you've gotten apathetic, if your priorities are out of line. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Say, God, I want to seek your heart and not your hand in this hour. I want to seek your presence. And if this is your first time coming to the Lord, you just say, Jesus, forgive me. You don't even have to repeat it, but say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I make you the seat of authority. I give you permission to convict my heart. Just say yes to the Lord today. Just say yes. I know every one of us can realign some things in our life today, because if 35 years in ministry and he's realigning me, I promise you, this is what he's doing to his church. We thank you, God. We submit to this realignment. We Lord, let us recognize the distractions. Let us recognize those things that are pulling us left and right away from your presence. Trouble our hearts for the things that trouble you, Father God. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, everyone said. Give the Lord a great big shout this morning. Listen, I love you all so much. I'm so proud to announce tonight Rooted has about 25 graduates that are coming together to celebrate finishing the course. So we're so excited for them. But I love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday or next Sunday.